I remember that preacher.
Some of you will know who I'm talking about, if I could think of his name.
Reavers, yeah, Dave Reavers. Yeah, that's it, Dave. Yeah. Anyway, he got burned terrible. A phosphorus bomb went off in his hand, and he just was burned. Nearly everybody around him was killed, and they thought he was dead too. It was, his story is an awesome story. But when he finally got to where he could walk again, he came back home, and he said, I walked into that church, and he said, I walked into that church, I looked up, and I said, God, you clearly said in your word, I could ask you for anything and you would do it. Obviously, he had studied the scripture. I think his daddy was a pastor too or something. So he said, God, I demand that you heal me right this minute in the name of Jesus, or else I'm going to do something to you. He said, I literally heard God laugh in that church. You're going to do something to me. I can't. And of course, see, who did Dave belong to? The king. Can the king do with anybody he wants to what he wants to? Yeah. We don't like it when those kind of things happen to us, do we? We'd all much rather be normal and have good legs and arms and everything. But God had a plan for Dave. He got him burned up. He saved him. And he sent Dave into schools all over this country. And there's been tens of thousands of young people come to Jesus that would have never come to Jesus if he went in as a normal man. But he wasn't a normal man. That's like the little boy, I can't think of his name, I believe he's from Australia, the little boy that was born with no arms and no legs. You all seen him? You know, now isn't that something? I mean, no arms and no one little flipper down here on one thing. And here a while back, I was watching a video that they had about him, and he said, you know, let me show you something. And he leaned over and he fell down on his stomach and his face. He said, now, you know, when you fall down, you don't have a problem getting up. He said, most of you here, you take your hands, your arms, you push yourself up and get up. But he said, I have a little bit more problem getting up. He said, it took me a while to master this. But you saw him doing what he's doing, that little flipper thing he had on there for like a foot, all that together, and he raised himself back up. And he got up. But it took him, took some real effort to do it. And then later, whenever he said, you know, give the invitation for everybody to come and accept Jesus, I was amazed at the teenage girls that come by, that hugged him, that cried over him. You know what I was thinking, those girls were thinking? I thought I was in bad shape when I came in here today. But I see this boy, he ain't got no arms, he ain't got no legs. And here he has got a positive attitude about everything. Oh, God, they saw how unhappy they were in their misery when really they had everything. And they ought to be jumping up and down and praising God, right? You know, but what do? The first time something don't work, what do we, as normal human beings, what do? We grumble and complain. We're good at that. You know, you get one little pain in a little finger. Let me ask you, what's the last time you did? You mash your finger. I do this every once in a while, cut my hand or do something, you know. So I mash my finger out there, and it turns black and blue and everything. And you know what we do? Oh, God, heal my finger. Lord, I messed up my finger. It don't work. I sure do need it to work. Instead of saying, God, thank you for all the rest of them that ain't mashed. You see where I'm coming from? Praise God that all the rest of them work. I only got one mashed, Lord. I still got three fingers, one thumb. That ain't nothing wrong with it. They work like a champ. When's the last time we do that? We don't hardly ever do that. When's the last time we praised Him and thanked Him that we could get up this morning, that we could walk, that we could talk, that we could see, that we could hear? Did we praise Him for that this morning? Probably not. I know. Sometimes I get out of bed praising the King, and then sometimes I go halfway through the day before I think about it. Then I have to stop and praise Him, right? Oh, my goodness. And out of all that, what does God want us to do? Thank Him and praise Him. That's what He wants. You know, that's what He wants. Verse 11 and 12. I destroyed some of your cities as I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Ooh. How well did He destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? There wasn't nobody left, was there? He didn't play games. And He said, I destroyed some of your cities. Did we see one of our cities take a major hit here a while back? Did we see New York City take a major hit? Anybody ever Will you ever forget that? No. Why did that happen to our city? It's a judgment. It's a judgment from God. You know, the average person will not believe that. God didn't do that. Yes, I'm telling you, God's in control. He did that. Yeah, there was people involved, but God was behind that. He was working on people's heart to do this, and He was doing it to bring America to her senses. And just for a little while after that happened, we had a burst of energy of people coming to the church. And then what happened? We forget so quick. So quick. How quick we forget. I destroyed some of your cities that I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Those of you who survived were like half-burned sticks snatched from a fire. I just watched a video this last week about some of the people that did get out of those buildings, you know, that just barely got out or they got burned real bad or whatever, and thinking, wow, you were like half-burned sticks snatched from a fire, but still you wouldn't return to me, says the Lord. Therefore, I will bring upon you all these further disasters I have announced. Prepare to meet your God as He comes in judgment, you people of Israel. Verse 13. For the Lord is the one who shaped the mountains, stirs up the winds, and reveals His every thought. He turns the light of dawn into darkness, and He treads the mountains under His feet. The Lord God Almighty is His name. Do we know who this is? Do we know who we're talking about here? God, the Creator God. Today, His name is Jesus Christ. He's still judging the world. Now then, He's got some things under the New Covenant. I want us to go to these. I want to talk about 1 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 1. I want to show you some things. We saw what He does in the Old Covenant. Now I want to show you some things He tells us to do in the New Covenant. The same God. There's no difference. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 22. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. You know, I've preached this kind of stuff all over the country, and I've had some women come to me and tell me, you know, if you think I'm going to submit to my husband, you must have fell out of a tree. I've had Christian women tell me that. I am never going to submit to my husband. I just tell them, well, ma'am, I hate to tell you, but there's rebellion. Since you're in rebellion, there is every form of evil in your house. Because you will not, in 1 Samuel 12, I believe it is, 15, 1 Samuel 15, 23. In fact, put that on the board up there, 1 Samuel 15, 23, and let's see what that says in the NLT. 1 Samuel 15, 23. Rebellion is as bad as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has rejected you from being king. Now then, does it pay to be rebellious and be stubborn? I don't think so. So if He rejected the king from being king because of this, guess what He's going to do to you if you're one of His children, and you're not going to do what He says. He's going to bring devastation into your home. You know, the devil's going to be there. Every form of witchcraft is going to be there. Every form of evil is going to be in your home. There'll be all kinds of devastation happen in your house. Sickness and disease. It'll come upon you, your children, all kinds of things. There's devastating things happen. In 1 Samuel 15, 23. Okay, let's go back to 1 Peter 3. It says, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands, even those who refuse to accept the good news. Now see, if you happen to be married to a guy and he's not a believer, you're in trouble. You still have to submit to him. Wow, you say, yeah, but I don't want to. Well, if you obey God and do what He says and pray for that guy, God will change his heart. But He says, even those who refuse to accept the good news, your godly lies will speak to them better than any words. You know, now you can tell him, and this is what most women do. I want you to go to church with me Sunday. Nah, I ain't going to that stupid old church down there. All they want is your money. I ain't going down there. They look him right in the face and say, you heathen, you ought to go to church with me. You need it more than I do. I've seen women do that to their husbands. Haven't you? Yeah. You think you're ever going to change him like that? Absolutely not. You don't have a prayer of changing a man like that. There's only one way and only one that can change a man's heart, and that's God. No woman can change his heart. Now, if you're walking sweetly and obedient to God's word, you can go to the throne of grace and jump up in your daddy's lap, and you can get God to change your husband. And that can happen. And I've seen that happen many times. But if you're going to try to do it, you can't do it. It says you accept the authority of your husbands, even those who refuse to accept the good news. Your godly lies will speak to them better than any words. They will be won over by watching your pure godly behavior. Now, everybody watches what you do. Everybody hears what you say, but you can't go by what people say because people lie. You know, and different people believe different things. Just like, for instance, it's written in the book they call the Holy Quran. They call that a holy book. It's written in the Quran, it's okay to lie to the infidel. Who's an infidel? Anybody who's not a believer in Jesus Christ. This is written in the Quran. So, when you see a Muslim that is a believer in the Quran, they can look you right in the eye and say, I'm a Christian. And they know they're lying to you, but that's okay, because their book says it's okay to lie to the infidel. You don't count because you're not a believer in Allah. That's how that the man that we have in as the president of the United States today, that's why he can say, I'm a Christian, but he's really a Muslim. You know, he can look right at you and say, I'm a Christian. I've heard him confess 4 or 5 different times myself that my Muslim faith. Oh, and then he catches himself and he changes. But I've heard him on video several times, my Muslim faith. But I knew he was a Muslim before he ever became president of the United States, and I tried to tell people, but you know, they wouldn't believe it. Now then, they say about 20% or 25% of the people know Obama is a Muslim. He is a Muslim. You know, somebody said, but he says he's a Christian. Hey, don't go by what the man says.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Devastation Brings Us Back to God, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.